It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
A good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I am Alan Gervie, and as you've probably heard, I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, and we are a workers' compensation law firm. We do all kinds of wonderful advocacy for people who are injured on the job. So if you have been injured on the job, don't be shy. Call me. Call me at 800-4-RGW-LAW. That's 800-4-RGW-LAW. Or you can go check us out on the web, rgwlawfirm.com. That is rgwlawfirm.com. And Gervie's Law is here. It is a takeoff of Murphy's Law, but again, we are making everything right. Murphy's Law said that anything that can go wrong will go wrong. In Gervie's Law, it's anything that can go wrong can also go right. And one of the things that is right today is the fact that I have my wonderful, beautiful, intelligent co-host right back here beside me, the one, the only, the Kerry Kasem.
Well, that's an intro. Thank you very much.
Of course it's an intro.
Yeah.
Because I have so much to say. First of all, I am so excited for you. I haven't seen you in about 2 weeks.
Yes.
And I see you right now staring at me, but what seems just so much more exciting and so much more interesting is what is on your finger.
Oh,
congratulations.
So no.
You are engaged. Kerry
Kasem
is finally leaving from being the most eligible bachelorette in the world. You have a beautiful ring on your ring. Congratulations.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get to the point of this and the bottom of it. We've actually, since my boyfriend and I have been together, it's almost 3 years, we've always worn rings. I wear a ring just to tell people I am taken. So I am not a marriage person. I mean,
no.
I'm just not. I, if it's really important to my boyfriend, maybe in the next few years, I could say yes. But it's not a huge thing for me. I've never, ever seen myself in a wedding gown or walking down an aisle. I've never, ever had that fantasy.
Well, if you do it, then you can watch the video and you'll see yourself doing
that.
Yeah,
I could. But, you know, I've always worn a ring with him. It's the first time I've ever done it. It's the only time, you know, that I've ever even thought about
getting married. You're getting nervous just talking about this.
I'm not a marriage person.
Kerry Kasem has never been nervous on the radio ever. She's got it in her blood. Her father, Casey, was, of course, a legend on the radio. And Kerry is making her own name for herself. Yet she gets nervous because she has this beautiful diamond on her finger. I am really happy. And I love that explanation that you're not a marriage person. But, you know, I think that at some point you are going to settle down.
I may. And, you know, I may. But here, I'm going to break it to you, too. This ring is really gorgeous.
Yes, it is.
It's really beautiful. I don't wear real jewelry.
No?
No. I don't believe in it. Maybe call me crazy. I'd rather spend the money on something. You get a gorgeous CZ. You can get even, like, there's others, fake
CZ.
Stones. Yeah, like a cubic zirconia.
I know.
I don't care about jewelry. I don't think that, for me, look, and I'm not saying it's bad if you love your jewelry and you love your rings. It's gorgeous. I mean, I look at jewelry and go, oh, that's beautiful. For me, I'd rather take that money and spend it towards something, I don't know, like real estate or a house
value.
Or something of value. That, to me, is important. And it doesn't mean that the rings aren't
How about valued. Doing it for something that's right? Something that is right. And what is right in this world is protecting our children.
Yes.
And today on our show on Gervie's Law, we are going to talk about protecting our children because, unfortunately, there are situations throughout this country where our children are not safe in their own school. And I'm not talking about guns, because we've talked about that quite a bit on the show. I'm not talking about horrible teachers, predators. We've talked about that as well. What we're talking about is toxic exposure at our schools. And today we are fortunate enough to have with us Jennifer DeNicola, who is the president of Malibu Unites, which is an offshoot of America Unites for Kids. And we are going to talk about PCBs in schools and talk about the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, which doesn't seem to be doing enough to protect our children. We are also very fortunate on the show today to have Mr. Charles Avrith of Nagler & Associates. Now, he is an attorney that has dedicated himself to helping others and to making things right, especially as far as it goes with children in schools. So if you have children in schools, you don't want to miss today, because you have to hear about what is going on and what the government doesn't want you to know. Now, that is really spending your money wisely. As Carrie said, it's not about the rings, it's not about the earrings, it's not about the necklaces. It's about doing the right thing. Carrie is doing the right thing with her bill, and I want to get an update now before we turn to the EPA and Malibu Unites. I want to get an update on Carrie Kasem's bill, the visitation bill.
Yes, I was at the National Conference of State Legislators in Seattle, Washington this last week. I was there with my foundation, the Kasem Cares Foundation. We have this booth. There's 8,000 to 10,000 legislators, meaning senators, state representatives, assemblymen or members. We went there, we set up a booth, and we talked about getting the visitation bill in all 50 states. I think we got 41 states that are interested in carrying the bill. Instead of going state to state, you know, why not bring them, you know, go to where they all are?
Right.
And that's what we did. And Senator Hoag from Iowa, where we got a similar bill passed,
right,
it was his bill that we lobbied for. He said, you've got to go to this conference. And he helped us, and he helped set us up with a senator there that would introduce us to people. Senator Hoag was amazing.
So what is your prediction of how many states will have a visitation bill for those adults who aren't able to see their parents because of extenuating circumstances?
I'm hoping in the next 3 to 4 years we'll have it in all 50 states. Now, remember, some states don't go in every year. It's every 2 years. So there are states like Nevada. We won't be able to lobby next year. We can lobby, but they won't be able to do a vote on the bill and have the bill presented there for another year at least, and then another year after that. So there are states that are in every other year. There are states with short in Washington, we'd like the bill there this year, but they're only in session January, February, and they only pass 5% of the bills. So we
see,
have
a lot
to get
of people don't understand the whole process, and I know you know, your wife's husband does, because he's a lobbyist, of course, in California. Your wife's
husband. I figured that's what you're trying to think.
Yeah. And because when we talk about lobbyists, we have to understand that there is a process here, and it's not as simple as getting a bill passed. We have a lot of red tape in our government, if you haven't noticed, and that's one of the things we are going to talk about today, and why things are not getting fixed, why Gervey's Law is not put into play all the time when we are facing money and the legislature. If you have any questions about the EPA or about Malibu Unites, about PCBs in school, if you're concerned about your kids in school and their health and welfare, call us at 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-KABC. Before we take a break, I just want to find out from you, Carrie. You were in China visiting Jesse. Tell us what the law is like in China versus here in the good old United States.
Well, it's very censored there, and it's very, you know, you can't get on Google. You can't get on Facebook. Now, there's something called a VPN. You can pay for it. Most foreigners know about it. The Chinese don't, but you can pay for it, and it will give you a little kind of routing,
right,
routes out, and so you can use your Google and Facebook.
You were
and,
sending us pictures on Facebook,
yes,
while you were there.
So I had to use the VPN. But you know, they don't. Most of the Chinese people don't know what happened in Tiananmen Square. Don't know about the uprising and the students and the people that were killed, you know, in Beijing. They don't know about it. They think, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of propaganda put out by the government saying, nothing happened. The police were very sympathetic towards the students.
Right.
It's
all
history.
About controlling the people through the media and through the law. That is something that we don't experience a lot here, although, you know, there are a lot of things that we don't know about what goes on behind closed doors in our legislatures and where money passes. But in China, it's really evident. And I was telling you, Carrie, before we came on the air, when I was in Tibet a couple of years ago, I was shocked to see that there were Chinese soldiers on the roofs of so many buildings with gun in hand, watching over all the Tibetans as they went through their daily lives.
It's really sad because Tibet was an amazing place. I mean, the monks, in China, you can't practice religion. There's no religion. People
right.
do. They do. And they say the government kind of lets it slide, especially if you're practicing alone. But there really is no religion. You're not allowed to. But I have to say, for the most part, the people were beautiful. The history is so rich. When I went and I saw the Great Wall of China, it literally gave me chills and I was choked up. Because you hear about this your whole life in history. And to be on it, to be walking the Great Wall of China, where it took 200 years to build and thousands of people died building this thing, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. The Forbidden City is unbelievable. The temples they built 5,000-6,000 years ago. It's incredible.
It's so great to see your passion. I know when I was at the Great Wall, for me it was just about taking a sled down from the Great Wall down to the ground. I was having so much fun. You are such a more philosophical, spiritual person. I was on the Great Wall just exercising. I was
Are you serious?
Wow, this is a great way to go for a walk
in
the morning.
You are full of it.
With that, we are going to take a quick break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Coming up on the next drive home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we'll find out if Rosie O'Donnell's still a fat pig.
You're so evil.
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike. Trump agrees with me right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
If you can't recall your own cell phone number, but know the braking distance of a half-ton pickup traveling downhill at 57 miles per hour, then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. That's because CarQuest Auto Parts is for those who really know and care about their car. Right now, get a half-inch drive click-style torque wrench, a $34.99 value for just $10 with the purchase of CarQuest Platinum brake pads and two rotors. CarQuest is serious auto parts.
See participating stores for details.
Why does analyst Dave Sims always book his La Quinta stay on LQ.com? Because he sleeps easy knowing he got the lowest price and La Quinta returns points. And when Dave sleeps easy, you know what he can do?
After a perfect presentation, Dave locks eyes with his horned adversary. And he grabs the bull by the horns.
Hey, that's my line.
But don't I sound better?
Point taken. Book now at LQ.com. When you book direct, you always get the lowest price guaranteed.
Terms and conditions apply.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is.
790-790-790-790.
KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, welcome back to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I am Alan Gervie. Listen to little Fleetwood Mac. I'm going to be going tonight to see Sheryl Crow.
Oh, I love Sheryl Crow.
At the Hollywood Bowl. I'm not a big fan.
No, I wasn't a big fan until way later in her career. And then I really started to like her.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a woman's thing, I hate to say.
I don't know. I was not into her.
My wife is so excited to go and see it, and I actually wanted to go to the Long Beach Grand Crew, which is a wine tasting event, and I have tickets to
that. If you
would
have said Grand Prix, I would have taken the Grand Prix over Cheryl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll let you know how it is. Okay. So we are going to check things out from a show back in August 23rd, 2014, almost a year ago. We were here and we brought to the airwaves the real problems that go on at the Malibu High School and the schools in the district regarding PCBs in the school classrooms. And at that time, we had Cindy Crawford calling in, and she talked about how she had taken her kids out of school and how she was real concerned about the PCB levels in the school. We also had Jennifer DeNicola, who's the president of Malibu Unites, and this is an amazing organization that is working so hard to protect children's rights, parents' rights, and to make sure that students and teachers are safe in their own classroom. And that is something that a lot of people take for granted, but if you listen carefully today, you're going to find out that it is not something you should be taking for granted. With us again is Jennifer and attorney Charles Avrath from Nagler & Associates. And Charles, or Chuck as we like to call him, has done yeoman's duty fighting for this cause. And we are going to talk to both of them about how things are going as an update to what occurred when we talked to them and Cindy Crawford last year. Both of you, welcome to Gervie's Law. Jennifer, it's nice to see you again. Chuck, welcome. You know, I want to ask you, Jennifer, there's been almost a year has gone by, and last year we were in a situation where there wasn't a lot of help you were getting from the school district in checking the levels of the PCBs and getting them out of the schools. What's happening now?
So where we're at today, and it's great to see you guys.
Good to see
thank you.
You
for having us back on again and talking about this very important subject. We are still going into our third year that the school district and Superintendent Lyon of Santa Monica Malibu School District is going to be putting the kids back into toxic classrooms, some that we know are toxic, some that still have not been tested. Basically, from last year, the update is there was some independent testing done by parties that illustrated that there was a highly toxic PCB issue going on in far more classrooms than the district originally tested.
Okay, for those of people that don't know about PCBs, can you just give them a quick lesson so people understand exactly
Absolutely.
What you're talking about?
So PCBs are polychlorinated biphenyls. They were banned by Congress in 1976. They were primarily made by Monsanto. They say that 99% of them were made by Monsanto. They were sold, and at the time, they did a good job of what they were supposed to do. They were used as plasticizers, which is why they were put in the building materials. They lasted a really long time. They don't really go away. The problem is they're highly toxic. They cause cancer. They cause a issue with your immune system, your neurological system, your endocrine system.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but what I wanted to ask about is ADHD, cognitive problems, things that we see more and more, and I'm not sure if we're just recognizing them now with our students, with our kids, and they weren't there before, or perhaps maybe the environment that students have grown up in have caused problems from a cognitive perspective.
You know, that's really interesting that you say that, is that from the doctors that we're working with, and there's amazing scientists and doctors all over the country that are working on PCBs that we have, gotten to our organization. They've been amazingly helpful. University of Harvard, University of Albany. There's a bunch of scientists in Sweden. Sweden's pretty amazing. They've actually almost eradicated PCBs from their entire country with the same laws that U.S. is supposed to be implementing, that Congress gave us to eradicate PCBs. You can't produce them anymore. You can't manufacture them. You can't distribute them. You can't sell them. And you cannot use them, which is the problem we have in schools.
Now, there's a major problem with chemicals, like you said. I know that there's a problem with lead, especially in inner cities, where they haven't repainted, or they're painting over the lead, they haven't taken it out. And studies have shown that lead can actually lower someone's IQ. the ability to think, the ability to learn. So not only do we have the PCBs, we have a lead problem as well, a major problem. And not only do you get it in classrooms, but, you know, you walk around all over the ground. There's lead all over the ground from all the pollution, and you walk right into your house with it, and now you have babies crawling on your carpets full of lead. And for people that don't know this, you can get free lead testing. That is something you can get, especially in the inner cities. You have to see, you go get a free lead test, look it up on Google, and you can see the levels of chemicals that are in your child's body and yours too, you know. But PCBs, along with all the other chemicals that are out there, are destroying our immune systems.
They're absolutely right. And the lead, what you explained is exactly what PCBs do as well, is that PCBs, they don't leave the environment. They move from one thing to another. And they're constantly emitting off. Now, the one thing about it is they don't normally find them in homes, but they were used in school buildings, they're used in hospitals, some apartment buildings, but not single-family homes. But exactly what you described about lead is what goes on with PCBs, is that, you know, we're taking them home. They're getting into our bodies. You know, we're breathing them in the air, we're touching them. There's, you know, three different ways that you can get exposure from them. You inhale them, you ingest them, you know, or you have direct contact and it, you know, could be absorbed through your skin.
Jennifer, you know, when we spoke earlier, I was really shocked by your story of the testing that have gone on, and tell people what levels they're at. When you talk about these are tangible results from testing, tell us about what the norm levels are and what your kids in schools could be exposed to today.
Yes. So PCBs were manufactured and put into schools between 1950 and 1979. So if your school was built or remodeled during that time, it could have PCBs. University of Harvard says that 30% of schools that were built during that time could have PCBs. The only way to know is to test. So they went into Malibu schools. Teachers came out sick. They had written a letter saying about 20 different teachers and wrote it to the superintendent and said, I think the school's making us sick. We had three teachers with thyroid cancer, all diagnosed within the same time, unexplained hair loss, they had, you know, rashes that lasted more than 24 hours, all these things going on. So the district went in with, you know, crazy parent concern, tested 10 rooms. Four of those 10 rooms had PCBs over the legal limit, which is 50 parts per million. That law was, put in by Congress in 1976. And that number of 50 parts per million has been questioned because the EPA says that there is no safe level of PCBs. They have no scientific evidence to say that any level of inhaling PCBs is safe. Yet, our school, when we went and tested it, you know, had four rooms that were high, then they wouldn't test it. They just stopped. And about 8 months later, parents, teachers, you know, community members went in and independently tested the school and found levels up to 370,000 parts per million.
Wow.
That's 8,000 times higher. Now, since I've seen you guys,
yeah,
the district was forced to retest these rooms that the independent test showed. And when they went and tested them, the 370,000 parts per million when they tested was 570,000 parts per million. So the levels in our school after the district tested and had their environmental consultants test are significantly higher than we even thought. But
that's
at this
crazy
point, anything over 50 is not only a health hazard, but it's against the law. But we're talking 11,000 times the legal
Jennifer
limit.
I want to bring Chuck in here. This is Charles Avrith, and he is with Nagler and Associates. This is one of the number one litigation firms in the city, and they do some wonderful work. Chuck, how did you get involved with this PCB stuff?
Well, I met Jennifer and I was really impressed by what she was doing, and I'm impressed by the cause, and it's a good cause. And Carrie was talking before about lead and how dangerous lead is. We know about asbestos, we know how dangerous asbestos is. The thing is, when Congress enacted this law in 1976, the Toxic Substances Control Act, the only chemical that they singled out were PCBs, because PCBs are so dangerous. They're more dangerous than these other substances that everybody's talking about. Yet we have a situation here in the Malibu schools where we have PCBs, 570,000 parts per million, which is basically a substance that is half PCBs. And the school isn't doing anything about it.
So that is where the law comes in. That is where a lawyer comes in. We want to talk about the legal issues involved in this, because we're going to talk about the EPA and what they're doing and how the law interrelates with the EPA with the PCBs in schools. You don't want to miss Gervie's Law after the news.
Donald Trump's not at the big red state gathering in Atlanta today, told not to show up after his attacks on Fox News' Megyn Kelly crossed over into what organizer Eric Erickson called misogyny. But Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is there working his new stump speech line.
If I am your president, I will terminate the deal with Iran on the very first day in office.
An early sign of possible good news in New York City, where an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease has killed 10 and sickened 108 people in the South Bronx. Mayor Bill de Blasio saying there have been no deaths in the last 2 days and no new cases in 4 days. De Blasio says crews are working around the clock this weekend to find the disease where it lurks.
Every cooling tower in the South Bronx is being treated.
The Federal Aviation Administration says a Delta Airlines flight made an emergency landing in Denver because hail damaged the plane. Meanwhile, 4 people are dead after a small plane crashed and burned in the Adirondack Mountains in northern New York. That yellow sludge from the Colorado River now reaching as far as northern New Mexico. I'm Michael Toscano.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
What would an extra $250 a month mean to you? For some, it's a little financial breathing room. For others, it's a car payment, a home repair, or help with college tuition. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I've got some great news if you're looking to save money on your mortgage. All it takes is a simple phone call to Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. Folks who refinance with HARP can save an average of $250 a month. That's $3,000 a year. Our home loan experts fully understand the HARP guidelines, and they'll walk you through our streamlined process. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes, we are back right here at Gervey's Law. We're talking about a very important subject. Carrie Kasem is here with me today, and we are talking about PCBs in the classroom. And we're going to talk about the EPA. We have with us Jennifer DeNicola, who's president of Malibu Unites, doing some amazing work to help the children, not only of Malibu, but of the whole country, because this is not a problem that only exists in Malibu. And we have Chuck Averith here from Nagler and Associates. If you've noticed, he has the same accent as I do when he says out and about, as he's from Montreal and I'm from Winnipeg, so we love having Canadians on the show. Now, Chuck, I want to talk about the EPA, because coming to this country from Canada, I always had the impression that the EPA were there to help the citizens of the United States of America, to protect them against environmental problems, environmental issues, exposure, and to help us. Why isn't that the case with PCBs in Malibu High School?
I don't know. They're not.
That's a good answer. They're not true doing lawyer answer.
Yeah, they're not doing their job. They tell the school that they don't have to test for PCBs. So the school says, okay, we've tested some rooms, and there are 570,000 parts per million in a room, in a window, in one room. So we'll take that window out. But the window that is 2 feet away that has this exact same building material with the PCBs in it, the EPA says you don't have to test it, even though everybody would think that it's the exact same problem.
You know, I got to tell you something, Chuck. You are being so diplomatic. I am nothing diplomatic when it comes to talking about organizations like the EPA. I was reading an article by a former EPA worker for 20 years, and he said he had a choice of being a good soldier and obeying orders or a good citizen and obeying the law. He's afraid that he has not been a very good soldier. He talked about the EPA. The people who get ahead are those clever ones with a talent for procrastination, obfuscation, and coming up with superficially plausible reasons for accomplishing nothing. Why is this organization pretending to protect the interests of the country? Is it all about money? Is it just simply something that we put out into the political arena so people will think that environment is important, when really the money is coming from the corporations and the school districts that are saying, stay away from us?
That is so true. I don't have to be politically correct about that. You are absolutely right. I mean, it all comes down, everyone says follow the money, right? It's about money and power. And right now, the EPA is not doing their job. They were tasked by Congress in 1976. And Congress at that time didn't say, you got to decide if there's an unreasonable risk. We are telling you within federal law that there is an unreasonable risk to human health and the environment from PCBs. Your job is to get rid of them. And they are not doing their job. And not only are they not doing their job, right now they have created some system in schools, because we found PCBs in caulking. It's been going on the East Coast for years. And since about 2010, they've come up with this scheme about testing the air. Don't test the caulking. You know, the TSCA doesn't say you have to test the caulking. So we're recommending that you test the air, which will never trigger federal law. So they never have to make a decision about enforcing the law. And not only have they done that, but recently, 2015 in July, EPA came out with a new set of guidelines, a new Q&A about PCBs in schools, and they said blatantly that they don't believe that enforcing the law in schools will solve this problem.
You know, Carrie, you're going to really like this, so listen carefully. I don't know where this is from, but Jennifer, I do have permission to read you a little blurb from an email that you gave me.
Absolutely. It was provided in a Freedom of Information Act.
Freedom of Information Act.
Yes.
So it's out in the public, a public domain. Here it is. This is, and can I say the names of the people on here?
Absolutely. This was a letter, just to set it up, is that our superintendent of the Santa Monica Malibu School Districts is Sandra Lyon. Sandra Lyon is in Santa Monica primarily, and she is now working with the Association for California School Administrators. And not only is she not cleaning up her school and protecting these kids and her staff, but she's now lobbying against it to say, don't clean up any of the schools.
Okay, so listen to this, Carrie. Don't clean up any of the schools. And, you know, it's funny because I asked Jennifer if I can talk about this. I have the man here, Chuck Avril, who's really the lawyer here. He's sitting back and he's not stopping me, so I'm going to read it. I go by lawyers. They're the people who advise me as a lawyer. Here it is. The issue in Malibu is particularly concerning to us, since any preferential treatment to the community of Malibu will give the appearance that an affluent, largely white community will receive preferential treatment. This can easily become a civil rights issue for us all. Wow.
The EPA is starting to sound like Monsanto. It really is. It's like they're in bed together. And it's disgusting.
You know, the question, Chuck, is why does this become an issue? Why is it about an affluent, largely white community that they're talking about versus actually doing the testing and actually helping people? Aren't we all deserving of equal protection and equal rights, even if we are affluent and white?
Yes. I mean, you would hope that they would treat everybody the same. That they would enforce the law for everybody.
Oh, no. Wait. This is America. Are you kidding me? Anybody who works hard and makes a living and is ultra successful is to be looked down upon. Didn't you read the headlines? Anybody who makes a living and who actually is ethical, responsible, creates very large companies that have 30,000 employees, they're to be looked down upon. They're to be taxed heavily. Tax them heavily because they make more money. Even though when you tax corporations heavily, you lose more jobs. This is America. You are looked down upon if you are affluent and white. Didn't you get that message?
Okay, Chuck. You don't have to respond to that.
I'm sorry. It just makes me so angry. You're absolutely right.
Okay. You know, and the thing about that is, you know, environmental justice is for all children. You know, we sent a message back to the EPA. That letter was sent from Laura Preston at the Association of California School Administrators, working with Sandra Lyon, the superintendent of schools at Santa Monica Malibu School District. And we sent a letter back and said, does TSCA, the Toxic Substance Control Act, and federal law, does the income of your parents or the color of your skin matter? Because all kids in California, their schools should be tested. Yeah. If they're built between 1950 and 1979, they should be tested. If there are PCBs in those school, by law, they need to be removed. And in the meantime, there's interim measures that you should be taking in order to separate PCBs from kids.
Right.
And they're not expensive. Our school district, Sandra Lyon, has spent $6 million before she's removed a single drop of PCBs.
What's the $6
million on? $6 million's on lawyers. It's on consultants to do air testing and dust testing, which will never trigger the law, and PR firms.
So they're spending more money on trying to avoid the issue than actually dealing with it.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
All right, so what we want to do is we want to separate Carrie and Jennifer for a second, so don't mind us. Chuck and I are just going to have a one-on-one here, lawyer to lawyer. There's a lot of politics here. We're putting it aside. There's a lot of passion and advocacy here. We're putting it aside. Let's talk lawyer to lawyer.
Okay.
What is the evidence? I want to talk about evidence. We don't want to talk about hyperbole and rhetoric. Is there evidence from a lawyer's perspective that can prevail in a court of law to prove that the law is being breached pursuant to what the legislation is?
Absolutely. The law is that you can't use facilities that have PCBs over 50 parts per million in building materials. The testing shows that there are PCBs up to levels of 570,000 parts per million. So we have PCBs over 11,000 times the legal limit. And
all right, Chuck.
So now that's a violation of the law.
That's a violation of the law. That's what you say. That's not a judge. You're a lawyer.
Right.
I'm a lawyer. Now I'm going to ask you, tell me about the testing, because it's easy for you to say that the levels are way too high against the law. How do I know that the testing that you're talking about is accurate and that there isn't evidence on the contrary with other testing that says that the PCBs are within the legal limits?
Well, the testing we've been talking about, the 570,000 parts per million, for example, that's the testing by the district's own consultants.
That's a good argument.
That's a very good argument.
Yeah. In other words, you don't have any contrary evidence. And I know we don't have anyone from the other side here. Jennifer's shaking her head. Chuck is thinking about this. We don't have any evidence to suggest that there is actually legal limits in the schools right now.
No, that's exactly right. You know, it's interesting because, you know, there's only two ways to test for PCBs. The EPA has, you know, methods, and they certify labs. So when you go and you take PCBs, you know, it's really easy. You literally walk up to a window or door frame if you're going to test the caulking, you know, rubber gloves. You take a knife, and you're going to put it into a glass jar that, you know, is given to you by a lab, and you give it to the lab that's certified by the EPA to run an EPA-certified test. You can either run what's called 8082 or 1668, and the difference is whether or not you do total PCBs or you do it by individual congeners, because PCBs are made up of 209 individual chemicals that cause everything from being dioxin-like, which are super toxic, to actually causing neurological issues like ADHD that we talked about earlier. We know that it lowers IQ. We know that it gets into the a women's body and changes them.
Autoimmune diseases.
Autoimmune diseases.
At very young
and
ages.
The thyroid,
cancer.
Of course.
Oh, yes. And thyroid cancer. We keep talking about this and getting back to how this all started at our school is because of three teachers, now five, have thyroid cancer. 14 of 30 middle school teachers have thyroid disease. We have three alumni with thyroid cancer that are 28 years old. You know, 28-year-olds
and,
don't get
can
it.
They sue?
And
can they sue?
Good question,
yeah.
Carrie,
yeah.
Because Jennifer and I have talked about this in the past, and I want to tell you one thing. We can't forget that teachers are part of employment in these schools. And what is jurisdiction, exclusive jurisdiction for injuries on the job? It's workers' compensation. And that's something that I happen to be a specialist in, certified by the State Bar of California. And Jennifer and I have talked about it, that if you have suffered as a result of injuries on the job, whether it's chemical exposure, whether it's any type of consequential injury as a result of chemicals, that's a workers' compensation injury. And I want to take these injuries to the WCAB, the Workers' Compensation Appeals Board, because you may not have a third-party claim. You may, if there's some intentional tort, or if Monsanto, for instance, could be sued for this if they are responsible. But in the Workers' Compensation Appeals Board, they don't really care about all this political stuff. They want to see, is there a connection? Is there a nexus between the damages, which are the injuries, the cancer or whatever the injuries are, and the school? And if we can show the levels that both Chuck and Jennifer are talking about to a WCAB judge, then I think there's going to be prima facie evidence of liability for the school district. That's just one way of looking at it. We need to take a break. When we come back, we want to talk about what the next steps are, because we need to turn this into a positive. I want to talk to both Jennifer and Chuck about where this is going from a legal perspective and how ultimately the children of not only Malibu, but of this entire country are going to be saved from PCBs. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
The most psychotic human I've ever seen was a woman with postpartum psychosis. Her legs were stiff upright. She was bent at the hips, chewing the carpet on the floor. Craziest thing I've ever seen.
I never thought I'd be turned off by a story of a woman munching rug.
Uh-huh. I know. Well done. You'll be here all night.
Dr. Drew, Midday Live. Psycho Mike Catherwood. Weekdays noon to 3 on KABC.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You know, folks, sometimes it's right to do the right thing and it's wrong to do the wrong thing. We are doing the right thing here. We are bringing to light problems that exist in children's schools. I have two little kids of my own who have not been lucky enough to go to school yet because they're only 1 and 2 years old, but they're going to look forward to that. And I want to make sure that the schools are safe for my kids. And I'm sure you want to make sure the schools are safe for yours as well. We are talking to Jennifer DeNicola, president of Malibu Unites, and Chuck Avrith, who is with Nagler and Associates. And Chuck, I want to follow up on our discussion, lawyer to lawyer. Tell us about this evidence of PCBs in the schools and where it goes next, because Jennifer has explained that the school district has had so much opportunity to do the remediation, to fix the problem, and yet they've spent $6 million avoiding it. So where do we go from here?
Well, where we go from here is in court, and we're going to prove to the court that the whole school needs to be remediated. Let me just say, you're asking about evidence. In February 2015, right before we filed our lawsuit, the school district had their consultant take 24 samples of caulk, which is the material that contains the PCBs, and in each of the 24 samples, so 100% of the samples came back with PCB levels exceeding the legal level. You know, as I said, some of these levels were 10,000 times the legal levels. So we got 100% in that testing of illegal levels of PCBs, and wouldn't you know it, after that, the school district has refused to do any further testing of the caulk. So right now we're fighting them over
but
that.
But can't you, through the court, go through a proceeding to force them to do the testing?
Well, that's what we're trying to do right now. We're actually sort of in the middle of that right now.
And so, tell the folks what the procedure is.
Well, the procedure is called discovery.
Right.
And there's a part of discovery that says that you can enter onto your opponent's land or facility to do testing. And so far, the judge has allowed us to do a limited type of testing, but we want to do a broader type of testing
right,
so we can make sure that we know exactly where in the school all the bad PCBs are and get them cleaned up.
And just to make it clear, you can't do that, folks, on a daily basis. There is lawsuit litigation. There are legal means to do it. So when Chuck says that you can go on someone's property and do some testing, don't go to your neighbor and test out to see what kind of flowers they have in their garden. But, you know, seriously, this is a process, and it takes some time until you have all the ducks in a row to in order to proceed to trial. Is that the ultimate goal?
That's the ultimate goal, to get all the evidence about where the PCBs are exactly in the school and what levels they're at and what needs to be done to clean them up. There's no doubt there's PCBs in the schools.
Could there be a class action lawsuit against this with people who have had come down with cancer, sickness, autoimmune diseases, kids that have, are on, unfortunately, maybe prescription drugs because they can't think, things like that? Could you go after all these people and the teachers, the five teachers that have cancer, and all get together?
You know, it's interesting because we've all talked about that a little bit. That goes back to going after the person who created the PCBs, which is Monsanto.
Sure.
And, the evidence is building. The thing about this is that PCBs were banned so many years ago, almost 40 years ago, that everyone put them out of their mind. This is why there's not testing like there is on asbestos and lead, because they're gone. No one can make them.
Right.
So the fact that they're coming back and we're realizing they never left, it's not like they're going away. They're staying here. So now we have to do something about them. Congress told us we got to get rid of them. We have to take them all out because they're a danger to human health and the environment. We cannot leave them in place, which is what our district is claiming they can do legally, that they're allowed to leave PCBs over 50 parts per million in place as long as the air and the dust in the school is below some arbitrary level that the EPA came up with. And yet what's so interesting about the EPA is that they don't have one inhalation study to support any safe level of PCBs inhaling. In fact, there's scientists on the East Coast from the University of Albany, Dr. Carpenter, who just recently did a study next to the Hudson River, which is plagued with PCBs for so many years. They're still working on cleaning it up. Another interesting thing is not one of our elected officials here in California has stood up and said anything about PCBs, and we've contacted every single one of them.
So that's the money that we're talking about, because obviously, and this is sad, we have the same situation in workers' compensation, where the laws skew toward the companies, the schools, the corporations, the insurance companies, and no legislature is willing to step up and say, wait, there's something wrong here. All they're concerned about is getting their job and getting the money they need from these corporations in order to get elected and have a job.
No, you're absolutely right. And then, but then you go to New York and you watch, literally in the last month, 164 of their elected officials all stood up against the EPA and said, you cannot walk away from the Hudson River. You need to still clean it up. Okay. So on the East Coast, these elected officials have the gall chutzpah. To stand, right. The chutzpah, thank you, to stand up and do the right thing. So what in the world is going on with our elected officials here? Barbara Boxer hasn't said anything.
You know, Dianne Feinstein.
Dianne Feinstein hasn't done anything. I mean, Boxer sent a message to the EPA. The EPA basically told her, don't worry, we got it handled. Not only does the EPA not got it handled, it's 2 years later. This is the third school year that these kids are going to go into toxic classrooms. And still, she's got her eyes, you know, hands over her eyes and her hands over her ears and is doing absolutely nothing.
And people like Cindy Crawford have come out and talked about taking her kids out of school. And she's been outspoken. There's a lot of powerful people in Malibu who have been outspoken, and it just doesn't change.
It doesn't change. There is some, like, huge force stopping this because the newspapers are not getting involved in it. You know, it's amazing to me, you know, that this is going on both sides of the country, and yet someone is keeping it quiet. And the only thing that we have at this point is really this lawsuit. And this idea, too, on top of, you know, going after the school district for failing to comply with the Toxic Substance Control Act, is that somebody needs to go after the EPA and demand them to either comply with the law. Their second choice is they can do what's called a rule change. If they have enough evidence, which I had claimed earlier that they don't, they can do a rule change and say, okay, PCBs over 50 could be left in the caulking in schools as long as air levels are at a certain level. But they don't have the evidence. And we know this because they have now spent money. University of Iowa is doing studies. They have Superfund money. IRIS, which is part of the EPA, has been tasked to find out the non-cancerous inhalation risks for PCBs.
Yes, and now I'm holding something in my hand, and I know you wanted me to read it, and it was a ruling. It came down from a judge. Explain a little bit more.
Yeah, in 1980 this ruling came about. The Environmental Defense Fund immediately sued the EPA because Congress tasked them to enforce the law. So the only chemical, as Chuck had said earlier, that was named in by Congress was PCBs. Everything else EPA got to decide. So they sued them because EPA started making regulation under the law that wasn't consistent with the law.
And EPA, just for people that tuned in, is Environmental Protection Agency. They're supposed to protect us. They're supposed to protect our kids. They're supposed to protect people. So this is what the judge said. We feel constrained to add one final note to emphasize our concern in this case. Human beings have finally come to recognize that they must eliminate or control life-threatening chemicals such as PCBs if the miracle of life is to continue and if Earth is to remain a living planet. We are killing the Earth off as we speak right now.
Yes.
Wow. With a lot of stuff. But here's another quote. It says,
okay, we got to hurry.
Okay, thus the effort by EPA has, in certain respects, fallen short of the mark set by the congressional mandate found in Section 6E of the Toxic Substances Control Act. We must trust that the EPA will act with a sense of urgency to find effective solutions to enforce the act. Therefore, we believe that the EPA should act with expedition to complete the important task assigned by Congress.
Chuck, we're almost at the close of the show. Give us some final words. Where is this going? What is your hope that will occur as a lawyer on this really honorable cause?
Well, our hope is that, and our expectation is that the school will be cleaned up finally after our work, after the judges see all the evidence and, you know, focus on the law. And beyond that, beyond this particular school, we're hoping that this sets a precedent for all the other schools that have the same problem.
That makes a lot of sense. Chuck is with Nagler & Associates, and if you need to look them up, that's Nagler, NAGLER.com. You can see Charles Averith from Montreal, Canada. Jennifer, you have the last word.
Yeah, thank you guys for having us here. I have to tell you that this is such an important issue for so many different reasons. PCBs are so dangerous. Don't let anyone tell you that they're not. There's not enough studies on it. They're working on it. But more importantly, kids and PCBs do not belong in the same space. And there are ways to get rid of it, reasonable, fiscally responsible ways. And hiring lawyers and spending $6 million to fight us and to fight kids is not the way to do it. It's shame on Santa Monica and shame on Sandra Lyon.
Well, you know, that is really the last word on this. But we are going to wait to see good results. We are going to have you back. We are turning positives from negatives into positives, Carrie, aren't we doing
That's
that?
That's right. We do it every week.
Every week we do it, and we're not going to rest until this issue is cleaned up and our children are safe in school. I want you all to be safe this weekend. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thanks for listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio.